Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report. It's Monday morning. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal, and we're going to cover stock market investing through the millennial lens today and every day at 12 o'clock. This is just not your dad's stock market, y'all. It's not your granddad's. You've got more information coming at you from every angle than they could have ever possibly imagined. There was no internet, no email, no Twitter. So what you need now are tools to help you cut through all of the noise and make the right investment decision. And in our opinion, the right investment decision starts with risk management. The Armor Report, algorithmic risk management research. That's where we begin the investing process. Still a lot of validity to the traditional fundamental analysis of companies and themes that you want to invest in. And we do it on our desk every day. But you've got to marry that with millennial execution tools if you want to succeed as an investor. And it starts with the protection of capital so you don't go through a period of time. And in this market, that period of time can happen in a period of a couple of weeks where all of your hard-earned investing, all of the work you've done for X amount of months gets erased in three or four trading sessions. You've got to use technology and put it on your side in this market. And so that's what I try to do every day at 12 o'clock. I try to share with you real information off of our trading desk, which marries the two disciplines, fundamental research and millennial execution tools. This is a live trading desk. That's why you're hearing that phone ring. What I'm going to focus on today, those of you who follow me on Twitter, it's hashtag Armor Report, A-R-M-R Report, know that we're going to cover the dividend stocks today. All right, this is the dividend episode. I'm going to share with you some thoughts of what we do on our trading desk when the market's getting its head handed to it. Maybe that's too strong of a word, but we've been in a huge uptrend, and right now we're experiencing some serious difficulties. And if you look at the whole year so far, 2018, it's been running in place, and a lot of positions have gone into the red in a significant way now. So depending on how your portfolio is structured, you could be losing money this year. It's a very difficult year, primarily because the Fed is raising rates. And so all the other things you know about PE ratios and all the things you know about fundamental analysis mean nothing in the short to intermediate term. Nothing. In the long term, they mean something. I just had a phone call, a blast from the past. My days in New York managing capital, started at Lehman Brothers in 1993 after getting out of college, and moved over to Prudential at the time. And I was working with a gentleman. I just heard from him. Great guy. And he was telling me how he bought shares. Did I recall that we worked together more than 20 years ago? And he bought his first investment with me was shares of Illumina, I-L-M-N. And he bought that stock at $3.50 because of the work I had done on the company. And I told him Illumina at the time at $3.50 was going to be a huge, huge stock because the company was going to personalize medicine with genetics. And at the time, we had on our trading desk back then, we had met with the CEO of the company, Jay Flatley. We'd flown out to see the operation in Torrey Pines, San Diego, and we were convinced that Jay's vision was going to be realized, and if it was realized, it was going to be a huge success. So, I mean, the stock went from $350 to over $300 a share over a 20-year period. And this gentleman, this friend of mine, really, from years ago, held the stock the whole way through. So he's got a better than 1,000% return on his money. It's a massive success, right? So fundamental analysis works in a significant way over the long term. So please don't think that on this trading desk we don't regard fundamental analysis. We do. It's just millennial execution that's necessary to be married with it. We're still doing research every day and uncovering ideas that we think have the potential of Illumina. And then those of you who are following me on Twitter, hashtag Armor Report or at Brett Rosenthal, or you go to our website, you know, rosenthalcapital.com, that we're focusing right now, for instance, on the marijuana stocks. And we think that is going to be a huge, huge group. It's going to be a place to have money over the next 1 to 3 to 5 years and perhaps 20 years that will, what we feel, has the same potential as the performance of Illumina over a 20-year period. Now, of course, Illumina had some huge swings and some big ups and downs, right? So using the correct execution tools to manage risk, you can still enjoy that ride over 20 years, but not suffer the 50 to 75% corrections along the way. And that's what this desk is all about. It's identifying the explosive places to have capital, but at the same time protecting assets. So news of the day, we get to first. I'll get to the dividend part of this episode. I'm going to share with you some names. When the market is suffering like this, and let me first say that none of our algorithms, the top five indexes that we follow, are telling us to be long the market yet. That could change by the end of the day. They're close. In fact, if you're, again, I keep saying it, but if you're following me on Twitter, you know that this morning I posted a chart pattern of an intraday trading tool. We have an intraday strategy that is automated. So we just let it run and it does its thing, where we trade the NASDAQ 100. And today was just such a perfect example of how the strategy works that I had to show you in picture form. You can see that if you go to Twitter, you go to hashtag Armor Report, you'll see the chart. At 10:36, we were getting long the NASDAQ 100 at 173, and we're basically selling out most of that position. We have, you know, optimized exits all the way up, but most of the strategy is sold up around 10:51, the time period 10:51, up at around 174 and 80 to 90 cents. Just a beautiful run. That's intraday trading at its best. And I said to you on the call last week that when we're 100% cash, based on the algorithms on the top five indexes, you have to look at your own portfolio and determine how you want to approach that information. How do you want to use it? The algorithms say that we're at the highest level of danger at the moment in a major uptrend. We could be at a higher level of danger if we were in a bear market and we're shorting the market, but we're not doing that yet. So we're just in a – our algorithms are saying you need to have the biggest amount of cash that you, the investor, would carry at any given time. That's what the algorithms are saying. When I tell you that all five of our major index algorithms say be in cash, what that really means for you, the way for you to use that information is to look at your portfolio and determine, well, when I'm most defensive, I carry 50% cash, or I carry 25% cash, or I carry 75% cash. It doesn't matter to me what it is you do. That's up to you. That's your risk tolerance. You've got to figure that out. But when you see all five indexes on our website, on the risk on, risk off Armor Report monitor, telling you to be, quote, in cash, it's telling you risks are high and do whatever you have to do to protect capital. Some people sell calls. Some people buy puts. Some people have a core holding, which we do. That's how we kind of do it. We have core holdings and a couple longer-term fundamental positions, and we make sure that everything else is in cash. We drill down to the bedrock, as it were. Okay. So nothing's changed there. No news. I know the Chinese market was up huge the last couple of days as they used the plunge protection team to rally the market, and that's another reason why. We have to use algorithms in today's millennial market. In your dad's market, it would be unheard of for a central bank to buy equities. It would be unheard of, like probably an offense worthy of jail time. And in today's millennial market, any central bank or government can prop up their stock market by writing currency, right? I mean, they're just basically printing currency out of thin air. okay, and turning around and buying an index. So you can, it's not that you can't be short, but you have to understand going in when you're short that you are so dramatically behind the eight ball because you'll never know when the central bank of the country you're shorting decides to start buying with reckless abandon and cover and create a short covering rally. So look, I mean, Chinese stocks down 25% this year. You could certainly make money short if you did it right, but you better be quick. Okay. You better be quick. Unless you get into a sustainable longer term downtrend. This is why we say that cash is the step between long and short. There's a step called cash where you just take a break and you look to see what the real move is going to be next. And then you execute accordingly. So China's up big. The market is trying to scratch out a bottom. The big indexes are all still, quote, cash based on our algorithms. But that also means they're a day or two away from, you know, giving us a long entry perhaps. So, you know, we don't know. I put out on Twitter earlier that a chart pattern of the small cap index. Small caps have been the leading indicator in this market, the canary in the coal mine. Okay, canary's dead. We top ticked it for you right around September 24th on this show. We said get out of small caps and mid caps, and they've literally gone straight down ever since. And I said to you on that show, be careful. This will have a this will create a problem for the rest of the market because small caps and mid caps are always the first to break down. They have the least amount of support from institutions and central banks. Central bankers who manipulate markets don't go out there and buy small caps. They buy the biggest stocks with the most liquidity. So when the market starts to head lower, that's where you see it. So if what I said on Twitter, it's important to note and follow it, hashtag Armor Report. I said, look, if small caps break to a new low and make a new low and close at a new low, then this sell-off is not over. And it would confirm the fact that our algorithms are telling us to stay in cash. And then, of course, we had this ripping rally right off the low. Probably, I don't know, could have been 6 minutes after I tweeted that, which is fine. That's great. I mean, look, they held the low, rocketed higher. Great. But we still have the rest of the day ahead of us. Got to close higher. Got to stay above. I think it was, what was the price I was talking about back then? 151.89 on IWM. Okay. 151.89, that's kind of the Maginot line. It's got to hold that level or that will have negative connotations for the market and confirm why our algorithms are telling us to keep holding cash. All right, quick notes before I get to the dividend part of this episode. You know, we have a focus on GDX and MJ. It says that right on our homepage. That's two groups we're focusing on, neither of which – you know, are able to escape this market sell-off. We have a core position in MJ. I told you on Friday, it's the smallest position I'm going to carry because we should be out of it completely based on the algorithms. Okay, so there's no surprise it's down 8% today. It shouldn't be a negative thing to you. It should be a great thing. This is fantastic. I'd like to quadruple the size of my MJ position. So when I get the next algorithmic entry point, I'm going to hit it full bore. But right now, it's due to come down, and it's crashing through the 50-day moving average, catching up with the rest of the market after running all the way up to the Canadian approval. Totally classic behavior. And people will be bored on the idea, and they'll move on, and it'll leave the limelight. People will pretend it's a Bitcoin story, blah, blah, blah. It is an investment theme that is here to stay. Now's the time to do your research. Put together your wish list, find your favorite names, and as they crush them in a market sell-off, we'll pick them up for pennies when we get the risk-on signal again. It's the first place I'm going to go is going to be that group. So dropping 8% today is, you know, that's fine. I have a quarter of my position on for my average account, right? Some guys who are very conservative, we've sold it all. We're in cash, and we'll wait for it to come down and buy it back. But for those of us who are more moderate, we have a, you know, just a core position size on, which allows us to deal with the volatility and then ramp up our allocation when we get the next entry point. Gold stocks, very tricky. Okay, they challenged again the 19 and three quarter area. Still long that space. As long as 19 and three quarters holds on GDX, we're staying long that asset. So our stop is around that price. I'm not going to share with you the exact price. There's no point in giving away my hand. But it's somewhere around that price. So we've got our eye on it. So far, so good. It held up well there. We'll see how it trades. It's notoriously difficult to make money in the gold and silver stocks. So, be nimble. And we're still out of the FANG stocks. We talked about FANG on Friday and whether or not it was time to buy FANG stocks. And the answer is still no. FDN is the algo that the ETF we follow there. The algo still recommends being in cash. 125 is, we're at 127 and change. 125 is pretty much what it has to hold. That seems like the real number that's got to challenge and hold. If it makes a double bottom there, we might get a great opportunity in those stocks. But for now, we remain in cash. So rule number two, things I'm going to teach my son about investing in the stock market, things I've learned over 30 years of doing this, working with my own capital and working with private individuals. The reaction to the news is infinitely more important than the news itself. And I find so often that you, if you follow other financial networks, they're always talking about the news. And it's the reaction that matters. And headlines are fluid. They'll change based on what the reaction is. It's crazy. I see headlines on CNBC's, I use on my cell phone CNBC's app. And in the morning, it'll be, literally, I've seen this very, very headline, something exactly like this. The equity futures are down in the morning. So the headline says equity futures down because of trade war with China. And then by the time I sit down at my seat, the markets are opening higher and futures are higher. And the story says equity markets are higher because of the trade war with China. It's ridiculous. Headlines are a waste of time. Reasons of why things are happening are a waste of time. What you want to focus on is what's happening. The reaction's more important. So let's take an example in Netflix. I thought that earnings announcement was fantastic. Stock gapped up on the news. What was it? 14%. Beautiful number. Looks like Netflix is going to go higher. Stock has only sold off every day since its earnings announcement. So the reaction to that news is more important than convincing yourself that they had a great quarter. Everybody and his brother was trotted out on financial networks and financial magazines and financial papers talking about how great the Netflix number was. And the stock just keeps making new lows since the number came out. So what does that tell you? It tells you institutions are using, quote, good news to sell the stock. That's all you need to know. It doesn't matter how great the quarter was or trying to figure out why it's going down. You use algorithms to help manage risk. That's what we do on this desk. And that's what I'm trying to share with you, trying to help you. People ask me, why do I do this show? I don't get anything from it. And I say it's true. I mean, on the outside, it looks like I don't get anything from it. Other cynics say I do it because I'm trying to raise assets. And I really, really not. It's neither of those things. I certainly do manage money. It's true for individuals. And I'm happy to help somebody if their personality fits with mine. But I manage my own assets. And I really, it's not necessary for me to build a big client base. I did that in my previous life and I was very successful at it. And so now I kind of have the luxury of only working with individuals who I actually like. And so every now and then I'll open my door and I'll bring in someone new and help them rehabilitate their portfolio and manage their assets. But the real reason that I do this, there's two reasons. One, it's cathartic. I watch every day financial news networks. I have to. I follow him on Twitter. I read different reports. And I hate how misled investors are by the traditional news services. The traditional news services are constantly focusing investors on the wrong thing, constantly preying on fear and greed, which are the worst things to be tapped when it comes to being an investor and managing capital. So it's just cathartic. Instead of yelling at the screen, I'm talking to you here every day, trying to fight back the waves, right? I mean, it's like my 5-year-old son at the beach yesterday, trying to keep the water from coming into the sandcastle. I mean, he's certainly not going to be able to succeed as the tide comes in, but he sure is having fun. That's me. I'm having fun here, sharing with you every day information I'm generating off of our trading desk. So the other reason I do this is to keep me honest. It's hard running money and going against pure animal instincts of fear and greed. It's hard. It's not easy to millennially execute with algorithms and do things that are usually absolutely contrary to what your, quote, gut is telling you. You know, you need to be buying things on weakness and selling things into strength, and it's just not what humans like to do. So if I come on here every day and I tell you what I'm doing and I tell you what the algorithms are doing, it keeps me honest, makes me do it in my own portfolio, even if I don't want to, right? Even if I want to go against it. I got to remind myself every day. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being there for me. Thank you for keeping me honest. So those are the reasons why I'm doing this. All right, let's get to the dividend part of the episode. As the market gets whacked like this, you know, I actually, because I've been managing money long enough now using the algorithms and getting used to buying weakness and selling strength, I get excited now. I'm finally, like that switch has been flipped where the lower the market goes, the more fun I have because I build my list and I check it twice and I figure out where I want to go. And I remember, you know, how frustrating it was to watch some assets go up without me because I wasn't willing to pay up for them. And now I have this big grin on my face as they come crashing down to me. They're going to meet my price. I love it. And so dividend stocks are one of them. I got a whole list of dividend stocks that I follow, and I'm just waiting for algorithms to tell me it's time to get in. And these yields are starting to get really, really interesting. You all know that we are long the Master Limited Pipelines using AMLP as our investment of choice. I have a half of a position on there, half of what I'd like to have in that position. So I have my eye on it. It's paying better than 8.5% after fees. 8.5%. And it does not include a K-1. That's why I buy AMLP. It's just a corporation. You don't have to deal with the K-1s. And you collect 8.5%. Wow, that's enticing to me. So as long as it holds probably the $10 area, it's $10.48 right now. I'd like for it to hold $10.50, but I'll give it a little wiggle room and probably 10 and a quarter, somewhere around there. As long as it stays above those areas, I'm going to stay with this trade and I'll look to add to it if we get the next long opportunity. Let me just see something. Got to go to my page here. I'm curious. I think MJ pays a dividend. That's crazy, but it does. Oh, it's a tiny one. All right, never mind that. Okay. One of my favorite ideas. So you can write these down. Grab a pen, a piece of paper. I'll give you a minute to write these down. Some of these names. Okay. AMLP. We're stalking that one, trying to find a good entry point. Next, we're going to stalk Blackstone and KKR, but particularly Blackstone. We made a lot of money in KKR this year. We bought it when they discussed changing from an MLP or from an LP into a corporation. It's a simple investment idea. As an LP, Pension plans were not allowed to own them. Indexes would not put KKR into the index. So they were, there was a huge amount of investor capital not allowed to get into the stock. So when they turned into a corporation, the stock went through the roof. We picked up a better than 5% dividend yield, and the stock exploded higher and had a pretty big gain in capital gain in that asset before we booked our profit right before this most recent collapse in the market. That strategy is one that Blackstone is now looking into. They're an LP also. Oh, and by the way, KKR's story, it worked out perfect. Once they became a corporation, they got added to a bunch of equity indexes. I mean, it was just a classic story of supply and demand. There is now dramatically more demand, and the amount of shares outstanding were the same. And so everyone tried to get into a small space, and the asset went up, and we were collecting a dividend to boot. It was beautiful. There's been rumor that Blackstone's going to do the same thing, and I can't imagine they wouldn't. They've watched the response to KKR's equity price. Why wouldn't they do it? It's, you know, it's something probably at some point they're going to do. And it's yielding better than 8% right now. So I can't wait to get an opportunity there. I said write these down. I didn't say go buy them today. These are dividend stocks with great fundamental stories. Blackstone's back to the 200-day moving average. So now we're just waiting for our next entry point. And we're going to collect an 8% yield. And we may get the added boost of an announcement from them that they're turning into a corporation. And the stock will rip back to $40 a share from the $34 where it's trading now. KKR, you know, had a big run. It's back to the 200-day moving average as well. And it, you know, it's already had that boost in its equity because of the conversion. It only pays a yield of 3.2% now. So it's not the greatest yield, but I do think it's a pretty good stock. And if we get an opportunity and an entry into BX, we'll probably get the same type of buy signal into KKR. So I'll follow both of those, put that on the list. So you got AMLP, you got BX, Bravo X-ray, you got KKR, Kivo Romeo. You know, my old favorite IBM, I mean, look, it's the beauty of the algorithm, because I'd love to just hold on to IBM, but I told you right in front of earnings that our algorithms had lifted us out of IBM earlier, much earlier. We were out of that a lot, somewhere in the 150 area, and it collapsed, you know, down to 140, and it was bouncing back up in front of earnings, and I said, we cannot buy it. Sorry, the algorithm won't let us, and then they had a terrible earnings announcement, the stock imploded. So now the stock's at all-time new lows. It definitely concerns me, but I'm going to keep my eye on it because it pays a 5% yield now. I didn't like that last earnings announcement, so maybe I have the fundamentals wrong, and that's the beauty of risk management through algorithms. So when you get the fundamentals wrong, you're not married to an idea. But at 5%+, it's worth looking at. All right, I got a minute left. Take a look at Qualcomm. QCOM pays a 4% yield. Fundamentally, we love that because it's a major 5G player. The stock exploded higher when everyone was excited about 5G. Now the stock market's imploding and nobody cares about 5G. Perfect. Let them sell it right off to us and then pay us a dividend. It's a 5G investment idea paying a fat dividend. I love that. QCOM. We'll keep that on the whiteboard. And then, we always have AT&T and Verizon out there paying Verizon's 4.5% and AT&T is 6. So you got to at least keep your eye on it. I haven't owned them in a while, but, you know, as the market sells off and they come in, you got to keep your eye on them. Boy, that Verizon stock's looking really good at 4.5% yield. I'd love for that to come down some. Bummer. It's not coming down at all, but maybe that tells you something about Verizon's business. All right, so there's the dividend story. Keep your eye out for quality dividend names. Put it on your own whiteboard. And when we get the risk-on entry signal for all the major indexes, for the part of your portfolio that you want to yield from, you step up and you buy those assets. I reiterate, we are not buying the assets today. Remain patient. Follow the Armor Report, #Armor Report. I'll be here every day at 12. Have a safe day of trading, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.